Thank you so much, Brother Dameron. We appreciate it so much. How much we appreciate this church and the school. We've had a number of our students over the years to attend the college here. And so we praise God for everything that this church and school has meant to us, been such a help, been an encouragement to us over the years. And I appreciate it so much. It's a privilege to be able to be here tonight. And we were just sharing a little bit of while we were eating about some of my background, and it's interesting what God does. And my wife and I were just talking the other day, the Lord has blessed us so much. You look back on it and you say, wow, you know, if it's all over tonight, it's been a good run. Amen. Praise God for it, because the Lord has certainly been good to us. Not only, as I said, he spared me. I came home from Vietnam without being all shot up and with decent health, and praise the Lord for that and how God had his hand upon us. But, you know, all the way back when I was just 14 years old, God reached down and touched my heart, and I was saved. God transformed and changed my life. And I can tell you right now, I wish I had time to give you my testimony, but if I do, I won't get to preach because I got to be out of here. Amen. Brother Dameron says, he said, the shorter you are, the more they love you. And so I'm working on being real short. I can't promise that, just be honest about it. But anyway, we'll have to save that time. But God has been so good, and we praise his holy name for allowing us to serve him. And so it is a privilege for every Christian be able to serve the Lord. And every Christian has that wonderful opportunity. Whether they call you to preach, whether they call you to take and be a janitor in the church, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. And so, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. While you're turning there, I want to be able to give you some little bit of background tonight about this message, because I need to lay some groundwork. Because Matthew chapter 7 is a winding down of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave is very, very important, because, you see, he covered so much there that he would have for his disciples to know and to do. And so in chapter 5, where he begins the Sermon on the Mount, we notice there, he says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he had set his... He was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, and Jesus begins to give, I got to find that water, all right, he begins to give this Sermon on the Mount. I'm getting dry here for some reason. Now, I think it's very important for us to realize that Jesus begins to give all of the Beatitudes there. We can see that, all the things that he says, and then he goes on. But I want you to notice something. In verse 11, he says, blessed are ye, because he gives the blessings, and blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers, and on he comes down to verse 11. He says, blessed are ye. Now, he is speaking to the disciples that are sitting around him there. And he's pointing out, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, he said. Now he's talking to his disciples, and now he begins to tell them a number of things he wants them to do. He tells them, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And he goes on and he begins to instruct the disciples in each area, teaching them how to pray, how they should go into their prayer closet and pray. He even goes through and gives them the example prayer during this same time. And he's given them so much information, tells them that they should lay up treasure in heaven. Now, all of this is, keep in mind, keep the picture here. His disciples are all sitting around him, and he is giving them instruction. Giving him those instructions he wants them to remember. Now it comes down to chapter 6 and chapter 7. Starts dealing with this matter of judging. Then he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall knock. And so on and so forth. Now I want you to see here in verse 12. He said, therefore, Now his disciples are sitting there. He's given them all this instruction. And he says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now this is commonly called the golden rule. Now listen to me. What Jesus is saying here to his disciples, this is where the rubber meets the road in your Christian experience. This is living out the Christian experience. They're out there in the world. We come here to church and we get fed by the Word of God. We hear the preaching of the Word of God. We sing the songs. We praise His holy name. But where is to be lived is out there in this world. This is where we make the impact. This is where every Christian has a responsibility to impact this lost and dying world. And so he is saying to his disciples, you got to understand that the first thing you need to realize that you do to others is you would have them to do unto you. You treat people like you want to be treated. All right? You want them to love you. You love. And by the way, if we want God to love us, we ought to love Him. Amen? We want God to love us. We ought to love Him. And if you want somebody to treat you well, you ought to take and treat them well. So you wonder, how should I treat my fellow man the way you want to be treated? So you got a gauge right there within you. You know what he wants. Now Jesus goes on to teach his disciples in a very emphatic manner. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now I want you to see what he is saying. He's saying now what the straight gate, that narrow way, he goes on to say, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there'll be that find it. Now notice he said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there'll be which go in thereat. Friends, you see, the world is the broad way. The world is easy to get to. It's there for everybody. It's there for the Christian. It's there for people that are lost. And it's hard to, and he says the straight gate, and it is narrow and it's hard to find. He said, a few there'll be that find it. That means they were, the fact that they had to find it means they were looking for it. Somebody had to look for it. That's what soul winning's all about. Amen. Is to be able to help people to find that narrow way, the gate, that straight gate, to what it means to be saved. Then, of course, it means more than just being saved. It means that we need to walk in a path that God has called us to walk and to live a godly, holy life. Now, I want you to see here that the broad way and the narrow way, that Jesus says these are the things that we need to be really working at. Because this narrow way is hard to find. Very hard to find. And it's a shame because so many people today, that some even naming the name of Jesus, have missed the narrow way. And so many today have gone by the wayside, by the broad way. And the broad way, it's there. You don't have to go looking for that. It's there for your life. Now, here he comes into my message. I'll say all of that. I want you to see this message tonight is dealing with this matter of the false prophets. The false prophets, he goes on and says that beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns? By figs of thistles, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And dear Father, tonight we ask, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would take control of this preacher. Father, I want to say everything you'd have me to. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. But more importantly, Lord, not only as you work in my heart and give me clear direction as I preach, dear Father, but I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every heart here tonight. Bless in this hour, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. He says, beware. The very fact that Jesus says here, beware, tells us it means to heed or guard or keep yourself. Watch out, he says. The word is very emphatic, and it's a warning that needs to be, it's very clear that we need to be aware of something. The world out there, that broad way, that is it's people out there that is, and you've got people that are supposed to be leaders. These prophets or people that you look to or so on, you got to be very careful about what you're following, because you see, Jesus here says, beware. They're out there. Keep yourself alert. Don't assume just because somebody claims that they're a preacher or they're an evangelist or they're this and they got a title or a doctor so-and-so that they're telling you the truth. And so you have to make sure that you check it out, because beware. And Christ warns us, one of the most major things he tells us to beware of, and that is these folks that would take and cause us to go astray and miss that straight gate. You know, there are people today that are being led off, and they will never find salvation. Because I had a fellow one time, I was trying to lead him to Christ, and he was telling me he was saved. So I asked him, I said, tell me about your salvation. He said, you know, this preacher told him this and told him that. And because he had this light come through a window, and it made a sign of a cross, and he was praying and asking God to help him with a problem that he had. He said, I just know that God saved me. And so if some preacher tells him, Dad, that God was right there. He was confirming your relationship with him. My friend, that man would have died and gone to hell if I hadn't have been there to be able to give him the gospel. And that was just by the grace of God. You see, a lot of times people are led astray with false doctrine. And, you know, it's also, We sometimes can get very hard, and we should hold prophets or preachers and people who are called of God to preach the word. We need to hold them accountable. But my friend, every Christian is accountable as well, because we walk out there in this world and we have people read our lives. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? I've seen so many times that people have said to me, I know people that go to that church or this church or that church, and they do this and this, and so those things, if that's what, is that Christianity? Leading people astray, even with our own lives. We have a responsibility, just like the prophets. These disciples are sitting around Jesus. These are people that were called of him. They were called to serve him, to follow him, his disciples, these men that were he was teaching. And during this Sermon on the Mount, friend, let me tell you something. Whenever you got saved, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He called you unto himself, and he has something he wants you to do. And number one, he wants you to make sure that you live a life that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you live true to the Word of God, so that people out there can read the truth. Some people will never see anything about Christ until they see your life. And they're reading you. They're deciding whether that's going to be the thing. I remember as a young boy not being able to know what it meant to be saved. Never, I wasn't in a Christian home. And I remember going to school, and I seen this girl that she always seemed to be doing the right thing. And when she went to gym class, she was wearing a skirt rather than shorts like all the other girls. I said, you know something about that girl? I like that. I ended up marrying that girl. But the thing of it was, it drew me just because of the way she was living. God used that. I didn't know anything else. I went to church because I wanted to date her and ended up getting saved. That's a good reason to go to church, amen? But I got saved, and when I got saved, God changed my life. Literally changed my life. Now, what I'm saying to you, this is so important because you see, the prophets or the false prophets here, or those can, we as Christians, it don't have to just be preachers. We as Christians have an obligation to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we walk out that door, we are preaching a message. I never forgot the story of Spurgeon. The first day of seminary, he had some fresh preacher boys there, and they just showed up and they sat down. He said, all right, follow me. They walked out of the door, down the street, down, come around the corner and down again, came back in the building, and they sat down. He said, now you preached your first message. Everybody that watched you, they drew a conclusion about you. You made an impression upon people out there on the street. The way you carried yourself, the way you acted, the way that you presented yourself, you were preaching a message. Whenever I saw my wife at that time as a young girl in the seventh grade, and the way she carried herself and the things that she did, she was preaching a message, and I wanted to know something about it. That was the grace of God. We understand that. But if she hadn't been doing right, I wouldn't have had anything there to be attracted to. You see, friend, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to live the Christian life. And so this matter of, he says, these wolves in sheep's clothing. A lot of people are naming the name of Jesus. They say that they're saved. And the emerging church today is just absolutely destroying everything to do about Christianity. Because the average person out there in the world thinks Christianity is what they see on television. And the emerging church and people like Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and people that paints that kind of a picture, my friend, let me tell you something. We are in trouble in America. Because when we go out sowing, and if you go out sowing and you knock on somebody's door, and you're going to find that people, if you can get them to come to church, and as soon as they find out that there is a separation involved, that they gotta take in, there's certain things that God does not accept anymore. Now you got a major problem. Friends, you know it as well as I do, because I'm preaching to a soul winning church. I know you knock on the door, and a guy the other day, he said, oh, this is my fiance, and she's standing there in the robe. Well, I can remember a day with that. If I was a preacher knocking on somebody's door, she'd have been hiding. Of course, she wouldn't have wanted anybody to know that. And today, people are living together without being married. So what? And they come along and they tell you how much they love Jesus. And they got a cross around their neck. And everybody says, oh, that's it. Then, you know, they have such a sweet relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you something. You see, what Jesus is teaching here about false prophets, they were the only ones that knew anything about what Jesus was teaching. It was their lives, and what they said was going to teach the rest of the people around them as they went from day to day, and as they began to live for the Lord and to spread the gospel. It was those folks, they had an obligation to live it as God said they ought to live it. We have that same responsibility. You see, it's very easy for the person sitting in the pew to say, yeah, them preachers, they ought to do that. Yes, those preachers, I don't have any more responsibility to live for Jesus than you do if you're saved. At one time, that's all I did. I sat in the pew too for years. But that didn't change the fact that I had responsibility to be, and I was obligated to live for the Lord. Before I ever became a preacher, I was a soul winner. Before I ever became a preacher, I was a youth director. And before I ever became a preacher, I was leading people to Christ where I work. And I'm not bragging about me, I'm bragging about God. I'm telling you that that's God says in His Word, we have a responsibility to live for the Lord. That's why the world is dying and going to hell, because these disciples, just like these gathered around Jesus, are the same ones that are of us that are gathered around Jesus because we know Him. We have His Word. We know what is required to be saved. We know how He wants us to live, and we have a responsibility to live it. Stop pussyfooting around and saying, well, is it all right if we do this? Can we get away with this? Is it all right for that? I have people ask me all the time, what's wrong with this, preacher? I tell them all the time, you know it's wrong. You wouldn't be asking. We have an obligation. Jesus points out very clearly, He says, beware of these false prophets. Beware. And you know, you got to be careful yourself. You don't fall in that same trap of being a false prophet. Are you a born again believer? Do you know Jesus is Savior? Have you been washed in the blood? Are you living it so that people see Christ in you? Because if you don't, and you go to them and say, you know, we're having revival services down at the church. Would you like to come? They said, oh, you go to church? You see, we have a responsibility. It's very easy to take and throw it off on all these people that are full-time Christian workers. They have to live it, and we all should. But if you name the name of Jesus and you've been baptized and you've claimed Christ as your personal Savior and you're a member of the church, you have an obligation. It's your responsibility. Just no more than it is mine. You say, well, you're a preacher. That's what God has assigned me to do. My assignment is no more important than your assignment. I'm just doing what God wants me to do, what He called me to do. As good or as bad as it might be, that'll leave all of that to Him. My friend, let me tell you something. God is the one that does it, not man. Our responsibility is to be faithful. Faithful in how we live and what we do. Out there, the world is looking for people who love God, who are living according to this book, who's being a faithful prophet of the things of God, who's living it, teaching it, letting the world know what it means to know Jesus as Savior. Oh, my friends, you see, false teachers, the sheep's clothing, it's amazing. You know, the wolves are out there. The wolves are out there. And by the way, sometimes people that are wolves and wearing sheep's clothing, just like the Mormons, some of them don't know that they're wolves. They teach it just as honest. There's a lot of people that's going around knocking on doors and they're teaching Mormonism. And they really believe it. They really believe it. Some folks, they're teaching false doctrine, and they know different. These are the wolves that are very much involved with destroying the sheep. Mormons aren't going to hurt us. Might pull a lot of people away that are lost, and they pull them into the Mormon church. But our heart's got to go out to them. Those folks knocking on doors, I feel as bad for them as I do for the people that never heard the gospel because they've been deceived. Our responsibility is to live it to the point where the power of God rests upon us so that we can impact people for the Lord. Brother Dameron mentioned I worked for the federal prison for a number of years. I worked for the Federal Prison Service. I had literally hundreds of inmates that make professions of faith. I held a Bible study at noon. I carried the keys so I didn't have nobody's permission. And so I came in on Friday nights and I preached an evangelistic message and I had guys saved every night. And every Friday night, number of guys that got saved, I heard from them. I got Christmas cards from them after they got out many years later. One guy used to call me every Christmas morning. He'd call me every Christmas. We're sitting there opening up gifts with my family. They can testify to it. And he'd say, Brother McInnes, this is John. And he said, my family and I are sitting around here. We're praising God. And we prayed for you this morning. So we want to praise God for you. I led that man to Christ. He went on. He's been a pastor now for about 20 years in Wisconsin. Him and his wife. Whenever he got out, instead of his wife and family coming to the jail to get him and his kids seeing him get out of jail, he said, Can you let me come to your house? Now, everybody will tell you that's against the rules. His mother, good Christian woman, his wife, his two little girls, was at my house, and they were playing my piano, praising God, when he walked in the living room that night. Got out after being in jail for over 5 years. His kids hadn't seen him. He'd gotten saved. He's given his heart to the Lord. His mother had been praying for him, and God transformed his life. You see, out there in the world, people are looking for somebody who really would treat them like they want to be treated. Somebody that would point to them the straight gate, who gives them the truth, who would take and care. Another man that I led to Christ in the prison, I'll never forget, his name was Ernie. I worked with him for about 5 years. He was in my Bible studies. He came to the services a lot. Ernie got out. I got him a job in Indiana, down in southern Indiana. He went down there and he was going to church. Met a girl there in church, got married. One day I'm down in the shop. I get a call to come up to the office. When I got there, they said, there's a fellow here who wants to see you. I said, okay. I walked out to the lobby. There sits Ernie, beautiful little blonde wife. Two little beautiful daughters. And he said, I told my wife, he said, when I get enough money together, we get our first vacation. He said, we're going to Milan, Michigan. I want you to meet the man that God used to change my life. I praise God for that. That's not me. That's God. That's what God would have us to do. You say, but this guy's an inmate. He did a crime. Yes. Ye which are without sin cast the first stone. Being wrapped up in ourselves, sometimes we don't take and send the right message because we think we send to people the message that, like, we're better than they are. We have to reach out to people. Be willing to treat people like you want to be treated. Showing God's love. Not sending a message like so many people think of church people. We have to realize that you say, well, I don't want my kids around certain things. I grant you there's something that's important to that. You got to protect your family. But you got to realize we're all workers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Every one of us. You can't, if you're a born again believer and your trust is in the Lord, you have to realize God has saved you and He has something for you to do. How we live out there. Is it the right? Are we sending the right message? Are we preaching a false doctrine? You say, well, if a preacher did that, somebody ought to get him. Get him out of the ministry. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm simply saying, when a Christian goes out there in the world and they live it in such a fashion to represent Christianity in a wrong way, they're preaching a message. And so many times, it's driving people down the broad way. And even if you try to point them to the straight and narrow way, they would pull back and reject it because, oh, I've already looked in that door. There are people down there, they don't like me. I've already started that trip. I looked at that gate, but those people there, they don't want me around. We have to realize reaching out to our responsibility. I love going soul winning. But more than just giving somebody a verbal gospel, we have to take the time to let them sense the love of God. People know if you care. They know if you care. False prophets. We have to be careful. And he says, how shall you know them? He said, you'll know them by their fruits. By their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. What kind of people do you attract around you? Birds of a feather flock together. Rebel radar. People know. It don't take long. You see, how shall we know them? He said, you'll know them by their fruits. What kind of fruits do we have? Do we have the love of Christ? Do we have that love of caring for people that we would do for them as we would want them to do for us? That homeless man is down and out. You say, well, you know, if he wanted a job, there's plenty of work. He could get one. You know, sometimes it's just hard to get yourself up. What you really need, what you would want, if you were in that shape, you want somebody to come along and help you up. Hey, you know, let me help you here. That's what Jesus says. Treat others like you want to be treated. The narrow way, the broad way, false prophets, you shall know them by their fruits. What kind of fruit? What are we projecting? What are we teaching? How are we living the Christian life? What do we present to say this is Christianity? Oh, because you stand around sometimes and make jokes and listen to stories that are not right. Laughing at things that Christians ought not be laughing at. What kind of fruit do we have? Do we spend too much time looking at things we shouldn't look at, listening to things we shouldn't listen to? And on the job, others see that. And they're saying, where is the truth? Where is the true Christians that live for Jesus? Where are they? The true prophets of God that are teaching what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. We have that responsibility. I challenge you tonight. We're very quick to hold preachers responsible and prophets of our day. But we need to take a look at our own selves sometimes and say, you know, am I being a faithful teacher of the word with my life, how I live, what I do, how I treat others, and so forth. Let's pray. Father, we love you.